Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Comedy Arcade, part friendly panel show, part vicious competition, where contestants fight with their best anecdotes on mystery topics generated through a trusty bingo ball. I'm Vic Slayton, host of the show, spirit of the bingo balls, and games master. Points will be awarded for originality, amusement value, and my general caprice and mood on the day. The contestant with the most points at the end of the game wins, but their opponents will be granted a few cheat codes along the way, just to keep it interesting. Right, welcome to Comedy Arcade. I have three absolutely fabulous guests. I'm not going to go through the rules because I assume you've already the emails.
Yeah, always.
Yeah.
I love it when there's silence when I say that bit. it makes me feel really reassured. I have a bingo ball full of very vague topics. If you've got a story for me on that topic, jump in. If you want to heckle someone else's story, that's fine. It's an audio experience, so we're recording on Zoom because the world has ended. But for the people at home, if you're going to use a visual aid, you're going to need to describe it. So with that in mind, let me introduce my guests. My first guest is the absolutely brilliant Sam White, who is my absolute Twitter hero. We've known each other for years and years and years, and I've basically had to develop a whole podcast to get on a Zoom call with you. So hello, Sam. How are you?
I'm really excited to be here. Thank you. This is like such a super fun thing to be doing every evening.
It's a good Monday night. Just below Sam in the Zoom window, we've got the amazing American Dream, Molly Melshine. How are you?
Good, thanks. Now that you called me the American Dream, I mean, I fled, so I guess that is the American Dream. London now. I have healthcare that I can afford without having to mortgage my house, so... yeah, it's great to be here.
I mean, you are the American dream, living the best that Britain's got to offer, frankly.
Absolutely.
Even when we're all pale and sad, we're like, we've got the NHS. So it's...
and people don't poop in the streets as much.
Yeah, it's not totally eradicated in Britain, but not as much.
Not by you, maybe.
Remind us where you're dialing in from, Sam.
Not one of the better parts of Manchester.
Less salubrious. And representing all men today.
Like the, wow.
Like the reverse of a TV panel show, we have Chronic Paul McCaffrey. How are you doing?
I'm all right, thanks. Thanks for having me. Lovely to be here in my house.
I know. You're welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Right, without further ado, let's go on the balls then. You're going to enjoy this. It's a really very soothing sound. Ready?
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Okay, and the ball is the worst job you've ever had.
I thought that was a motorbike. It sounded like Grease 2.
the thinking woman's favourite Grease, that as well. Grease
2.
Oh,
what a film.
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't watched it, though, because I'm scared it won't stand up to...
You've not seen Grease 2?
Not recently. I don't want to rewatch it because I don't want it to not be as good as I remember it, or for me, as a newly woke person, to disapprove of it in some way.
Oh, yeah, well, there is that.
For Twitter capital. Yeah. Mm. I wouldn't be able to resist, even though my heart wasn't in it. I'd have to tweet about it. Anyway, worst jobs. Who's had a bad job?
I had a pretty bad job. I grew up on the Jersey Shore, which, if you guys have ever heard of it, it's...
I don't like what I've heard.
Yeah, it's basically like Ibiza, but without money, I think what I would say. I don't know.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah. It's not a pizza without money. Some people have money. Long story short, my job was to rake the beach every morning. And so it was from the time I was 14 years old, I would wake up at 7 a.m. and I had to wear the ugliest uniform that gave me terrible tan lines, which was like a huge concern, obviously, because I was 14. I was like, I can't have pale upper arms. So I would have to just go and I would be hungover as shit. And I would be raking the beach and like picking
14.
Yeah.
Good
is this
work.
Why you,
that's how we do it on the Jersey Shore.
This is why you're worried about people shitting in the street.
Exactly. I would be picking up like used condoms, used tampons, and I had to like put them all in a garbage bag. It was terrible. And the boss of it was my history teacher he would just scratch his balls all the time in front of all of the students in school and at the beach cleaning job. And he would make up historical facts. I caught him making things up. And anyway, I got fired for sleeping in the dunes on the job. That was my worst.
Can I just say at this point, Molly, I can see why you moved to Britain. It's like you're hungover as shit at 14. I know exactly the place for you.
Yeah. Welcome.
Oh God, I hate to ask this. This might be a really stupid question. Does the beach not self clean? Does like the tide?
You're thinking
not come
of vaginas.
Yeah,
all those nice ovens.
So in most towns they had a machine, like I guess like a beach Zamboni that would clean the beach. But in my town, they were like, let's create jobs for teenagers. Because we all know how teenagers love manual labor. So they decided not to get the beach cleaning cars. And instead they just made us do it.
Oh, to instill a work ethic. Lovely.
Am I the only person here other than Molly that's hearing the word Zamboni for the first time?
I'm an ice hockey fan. So I have heard of that before. I picked the most obscure sport you could follow because there weren't any other women there. So it was like shooting fish in a barrel. It was a dating play back when I was 18. And then I got surprisingly into it. And became undateable, frankly, via
there's a small subsection of men to whom you are basically
the
God,
the so ice hockey fine. Players in the British League, very accessible.
I believe that.
Any other bad jobs? That is a strong opening salvo.
Oh man, I've had so many bad jobs. I worked in a bulb farm where they sacked me.
What?
Right? Bulbs as in bulbs that you
light bulbs?
On which flowers grow.
Oh no. No, yeah, no, no. All right, cool.
And my job was to sit on a conveyor belt as they went past and pick stones out so that when they were packaged to sell.
How
and they sacked me.
From that?
How shit must I have been?
This is like a...
It's one of those jobs where when you try and fall asleep at night, you close your eyes and you could still see the conveyor belt going for 8 hours. I was 15. I'm sure it's been outlawed by now.
This is a theme.
What was this, like, the 1912s or something?
Oh, no, exactly, like a Victorian workhouse. I was there in my top hat and, like, knickerblocker shorts.
What's
like
fair?
Oliver Twist. Like, turned up on my penny farthing.
Were none of the chimney sweep agents in Ireland?
When was the tulip craze? Was that like the 18th century? Because that would have been so lucrative then.
Know,
you know,
when
it like the whole world went mad for bulbs.
There's such a strong theme with comedians being sacked from really low skilled jobs, though. Every time I ask this, it's like, I was sacked on my first day from like shoveling like cat repellent or something.
Conversely, another job, an awful job that I had. I worked for a pest control company where I basically would drive round from town to town looking for buildings that had bird shit on them. And then I would basically go in and try and sell them bird proofing. You know, you see those like spikes that's on windowsills to stop birds. So basically I used to drive round looking for buildings with bird shit and I generated so much work. It was a 4-week contract in the first 2 weeks and they were like, we don't need you anymore. We are literally up to our eyes in bird shit.
So you've given us two examples at two ends of the spectrum there where you've done a job too well.
I know.
Too badly.
What can I say?
Oh, if you want it balancing up, I have a job I was really bad at. When I was working in a really good, nice and worthy organisation. And I don't know if you've seen how you can sometimes have a conference room with a collapsible wall down the middle.
Oh, yeah.
And there's like a foot long key. that means that makes the, you know, it means you can either have two spaces or one large space. And in any case, like, it's 2 foot long and metal, this thing. And anyway, I lost that. So I rendered 2 rooms absolutely unusable. And
what was your job? Were you standing between?
No, I was just setting up the rooms for use the next day. And that day, I'd needed to uncollapse the wall. And the following day, they needed 2 rooms, but they were not able to have 2 rooms because I lost the thing that made the wall work.
Oh, no.
But the thing is, it never turned up. It's like, it's 2 foot long and it's metal. Like, where have I lost that? Like, where could I conceivably have put that it never, ever turned up? So that went well.
At least you didn't come across it at home, like, oh, shit.
Just stuck it in my back pocket.
Well, that was a strong round. Everyone's had shit jobs or been shit at jobs. Lovely. Right. Right. And the ball is meeting famous people. Obviously, we don't count. You can't use this as an example, but who has met a famous person and it's gone well? Anyone?
Well.
Or badly?
Oh, I could do you badly.
Excellent. That's the one I always hope for.
My partner at his graduation, the guest of honour was Princess Anne. And all the graduates had to line up and you all have to sort of bow to her because that's, I don't know, cause royalty and deference or something. And he's quite severely dyspraxic. So as he bowed to her, he sort of stumbled forward and through no fault of his own, really, ended up with his face in Princess Anne's crotch.
Wow, that's forward.
And he's an avowed anti-monarchist and everything, but he was so apologetic. And in his graduation picture, because this is obviously in front of all these people he's been studying with for years, and he's just got, in his graduation picture, he's not smiling at all and he's just got this 1,000-yard stare.
Oh, just thinking about what he's done.
In front of all my peers and betters, I've just put my face in Princess Anne's crotch.
Well, if he was a horse, she would have thanked him. So,
woo, girl.
She loves horses. She horseback rides.
Not in a sexy way. As far as we know.
It's always a bit in a sexy way.
I mean, that's your opinion.
People, yeah.
Okay, yep.
In a kind of similar vein, I used to do banqueting. I was banqueting staff at the Grosvenor House on Park Lane. So, it was casual, you get booked for the. And I did the Conservative Winter Ball.
Oh, you're one of those comedians.
And I had to. No. Absolutely not. Let me just make that perfectly clear. But so I had to go in, you just basically, whatever it was, some days it would be like a corporate thing, and it just so happened that this day it was. I'd been taking ecstasy the night before, and I went in and they said, I had to stand next to Norma and John Major was Prime Minister at the time, with champagne. So they were receiving the guests as they came in and I had to stand there. Firstly, he's fucking massive, which I was just not ready for. He doesn't strike, he's about 6'5". And I'm quite a short man, so I'm sort of stood there coming down off a pill with a tray of champagne, just like, this is incredibly surreal.
I imagine the champagne's quivering if you're on a come down.
Yeah, just sort of like, didn't know which way was up, which way was down, but yeah, that was pretty weird.
Yeah, and that wasn't your worst job.
No. Well, there were snipers on the roof. When we turned up for work, you had to go through about 3 different security sort of checks before you got in, and there was snipers appointed all around the roof of the
ground. And you got in?
I got in, yeah.
You got in?
Of course, like, I did.
Off your tits? Like, fair play, what is your secret?
I don't think they were checking to see if people were off their tits.
Yeah. How are his pupils? Hold on a second.
Whoa. Like, I think they were probably checking for sort of guns.
Nightclub bouncer style, like, oh, he's had enough, take him home.
You slit the security
checking
half
with tapping
a pill.
Feet.
Oh, imagine. But you got through it. Did you get paid at the end? Nobody noticed.
Nobody noticed, no.
It's just all in your head.
It was just all in my head. All in my drug-addled head.
Molly, what's your celebrity sighting?
So Kendall Jenner, I don't know if you guys know who she is.
Yeah.
She's like the, you know, tallest, dullest Kardashian. She tried to get me thrown out of a party because she thought I was stalking her.
Wow.
Were you?
No, I actually wasn't. And it's weird because I have stalked other Kardashians this time.
Let me guess.
I was innocent.
Is it Khloe? Is it Khloe that you've stalked?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it would be.
I stalked Khloe and Courtney when they took the Hamptons. I convinced my editor at the time, I was working at a newspaper, and me and my friend who I worked with, we were like, oh, we definitely need to go to the Hamptons and find the Kardashians and interview Hamptons people about whether they hate them. And we were like, he's going to laugh in our face. He's never going to let us take a day off work to go to the Hamptons in the middle of July. And he was just like, oh, yeah, definitely do that.
I'd read that, to be fair. Like,
this really so balances out the beach cleaning job.
I know. Yeah. But we found them within like 5 minutes. We literally went to their store and they walked in, and it was right after Khloe got her new butt. So I had never seen a fake butt in my life. And I was just mesmerized because it comes to a point from the side. And I'm not body shaming. Like, I'm not like, this is not a value judgment. It just comes to a point. It's like a triangle. And I was like, how could someone's butt be like that? And then I started doing research and I learned everything there is to know about Brazilian butt lifts. But then anyway, 2 years later, I was at a fashion week party. And I was in this VIP section with some of my coworkers, and I had to go to the bathroom. So I was like, I'm going to go downstairs and go to the bathroom. And I saw there was a really big line of people to come up the stairs. So I was like, never mind, fuck that. I don't feel like waiting in line. I'll just hold it. So I turned around and I started to run back up the stairs again. And this girl in front of me was like to someone in front of her, don't let her up here. She's a psycho. And I was like, and I didn't realize it was Kendall. So I was just like, what are you talking about? I've been up here for like 3 hours. And I just kept going and I went all the rest of the way up. And then when I got all the way up there, I was like, something was weird about that. And I looked back and it was Kendall, and she was with Bella Hadid and someone else too, I forget. So she tried to get me thrown out. I don't know if it was because she thought I was following her and I was going to like try to take a selfie with her or something like that.
If I was the boring sister, I would insist loads of people were following me too.
Yeah, it was just, yeah. You'd feel better knowing that, wouldn't you? Uh-huh. I've only been kicked out of one place. It's the Ivy. And because I had food poisoning and I couldn't stop shitting. And so I kept going into the bathroom and they thought I must have been on coke. And rather than tell the bouncer, no, I'm afraid it's diarrhea, I let him believe that it was coke and I allowed myself to be ejected from the bathroom.
How did you know you were pooping?
That's just put me in mind of something. When I used to run a bar in Islington, and there was sort of a few regulars that drank in there. And one guy had at one time been using the urinal next to this Italian guy that used to drink in there. And he said his dick was ridiculously big. And so from there on in, every time he went into the toilet and he was using the urinal, he used to go into the cubicle and make sniffing noises as if he was doing coke. So that just so that he didn't have to use the urinal next to it.
I have to say, like, since when have they been precious about people doing coke in the Ivy?
I know, right? It was a bad day for me.
It's like, it's one of the few restaurants where you will pay more for your food than you will for the coke in your pocket.
Yeah, it was a disappointing situation for all of us. And to punish them, I stole something from the backgammon set.
Yeah. Who's laughing now?
Yeah.
They got what they deserved.
Exactly. Quite. I meted out that punishment. Right.
Now, Vix, I'm just thinking, like, when you poop, does it make sniffling noises?
No, it's just me crying as well. Just,
like... And like talking about your new startup idea.
let me talk to you about my podcast. Yeah. embarrassing injuries.
Ooh, I have one.
Okay.
And this is a scoop. One time my vagina swelled shut.
Wow.
You as well.
Oh my God. I mean, I can't believe this.
There goes my embarrassing injury story.
Yeah.
What?
So I got a colposcopy. Do you guys know what that is?
No.
Okay, so it's when they think you might have HPV. When they think you might have HPV, they go in and they slice a piece of your cervix with a hole puncher out. And it's not supposed to hurt, but it did. They do a biopsy on it. I came back, you know, flying colors, did not have HPV, but
that would have been a really dark end to this story.
Yeah. And also,
pass an STI test with flying colors? I've never heard that before.
So clean.
Yeah.
Also, if you're listening to this and you've ever been offered Gardasil, take it, because you don't want this freaking procedure done. The colposcopy, it hurts so bad. So they told me it wasn't going to hurt, because that's what they always say, because they're fucking assholes. And they did it and I immediately passed out from the pain. It hurts so bad because they're snipping off a piece of your organ. Why would that not fucking hurt? So they basically slapped me awake and they were like, what, did you skip breakfast this morning? And I was like, yeah, but that's not why I passed out. No, I didn't skip. I was like, no, I did not skip breakfast. You just lied to me about how this was going to feel. And I was bleeding. You're not supposed to bleed when that happens either. So it was really traumatic and awful. I had to have my friend, shout out Jess, if you're listening. She picked me up from the gynecologist's office. It was very weird. They use this weird glue, this sealant, to seal the cervix that they removed to seal it up.
This doesn't sound like a real place that you went.
This is American healthcare.
This is American. Just gonna glue that back together.
The NHS has got its problems.
Right. In the rest of the world, when they think you have HPV, they're just like, oh, we'll monitor that to see if it turns into cervical cancer over the course of 10 years. But in the US, they're like, we need to laser out half of your cervix. Because we'll make $500 doing that or something. So my friend picked me up. She brought me home. They put this fucking glue in there and the glue got really hard and started to fall out, which was really weird. But then the next day I was in the shower and I was like rub-a-dub-dubbing it and my fucking vagina sealed shut. It was like a wall. I could not get in there. Can you believe that? Just from the trauma, I think.
God, everything I've ever had pushed into my cervix has really hurt as well. More than, and it's not really awful.
Everything?
Way.
What?
What? Yeah. Sam's got an OnlyFans. she can plug it at the end, OnlyFans or whatever.
Upwards of 60% of these things have been medical, but it's pressing down on your cuticle. It's a really unpleasant type of pain as well. I mean, I really don't, I don't really prefer it not to seal up.
So anyway, embarrassing injuries, eh? Paul?
There was this one time when my dick got glued shut. It was, I have got an embarrassing injury, actually, a drinking injury, but this is a long, long time ago. I kind of woke up one morning and I was like, I can't remember a huge amount of what happened last night. So I can remember that I'd been with someone early on in the evening. So I phoned them and I'd also woken up with blood all over my pillow. I phoned this guy that I've been out drinking with and he's like, fuck, what happened with you? And I said, what happened last night? I woke up with a cut chin. He said, yeah, do you not remember? So we'd got the bus home and I had got off. I mean, I was a little shit and had abused a couple of people on the way off the bus, including the driver, and then missed the bottom step of the bus, fell off and smacked my chin on the pavement. I've still got a slight scar there, yeah. And something absolutely served me right. But yeah, woke up the next day. I just couldn't remember what happened.
I really appreciate you sort of your acknowledgement. You deserved that.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. In the extremely unlikely event that the bus driver is listening and remembers, I'd like to take this opportunity to apologise for my behaviour probably 25 years ago.
Oh, they see some things, don't they? Yeah.
Unacceptable behaviour.
Sam?
Oh God, injuries. Yeah, I guess the worst one. This is a sober one, which makes it worse. We had this faulty toaster. And when you put it down, it wouldn't pop up. It would just stay down. Anyway, I came into the kitchen and the toaster was on fire. And my first thought was, what do you do with fires? You put a wet rag over them. You don't do that with electrical fires. You absolutely don't do that.
No.
Oh, my God.
I was nodding along then. I was like, yeah, that is the appropriate course of action. Yeah.
No, it's a thing you do with some chip pan fires, I think. I think it's because I've only seen public safety films about chip pan fires.
That used to be a much bigger issue than it is now. Say what you
like
about.
I haven't seen anyone use a chip pan for a long time.
Say what you like about body positive, healthy eating, but you know, stay away with that issue.
Yeah, absolutely. But anyway, don't throw a wet tea towel over an electrical fire because it turns out it just keeps burning. And so I had to grab a rag that was still burning and just throw it and burning my hands significantly in the process. And I just had to throw, I don't know why I did this, but I threw it out the window.
On fire.
On fire. And the sort of whoosh of oxygen that it got seemed to like ignite it more.
Oh no.
And now this was in a first floor flat, and the ground floor flat had a garden, and it made their bush go on fire.
A different kind of burning bush.
Yeah. And so they were all running out, throwing saucepans of water over it. I
did they know it was you?
I mean, there was only one flat conceivably a burning tea towel could have come from.
And
in
that
this
flat
situation.
Was also on fire.
Yeah. So, but I think the thing is, yeah, my hand was burnt a bit, but it was more my confidence, I think, that took the beating there. But we just couldn't face confronting it, so we just pulled down the shutters, closed the curtains, and we didn't open them again until we left.
What, years later or the next day?
I think it was about 3 months later. We just refused to acknowledge that we had neighbours at all, rather than confront what we'd done.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Can I just say two things in response to that? Firstly, do not put a wet towel on a... What was the sentence you said there? It sounded like a Dolly Parton song.
Never put it on electrical fire.
There we go. And also, I did something similar. I'd made myself some beans on toast, and I was sort of sat down eating it, looking out the back window into my garden. And then I noticed that someone was having a bonfire in like a garden out the back. So I sort of sat, you know, it's like when you're looking at a fire, just staring into it, trancing out. And I was looking at it for about 3 or 4 minutes before I realised, you can't actually see any of our neighbours' gardens from my house. I then realised what had happened. I'd left the oven glove on the hob, which I hadn't turned off. That had gone up in flames. And what I'd been watching for the last 3 or 4 minutes was the reflection like this. So sat there going, oh, look, someone's having a bonfire. It's like, fucking kitchen burning.
Warm in here.
What an idiot.
You put such a beautiful gauze on that terrible situation. Like,
yeah, yeah.
That speaks very well.
Oh, 3 or 4 minutes of like blissful ignorance. Just sat there going, oh, look, someone's having a lovely fire.
Oh, dear me. We'll move on. Right, it is local pubs or bars for Molly, because I don't know how long you've been in the UK. Are you familiar with a local pub, Molly?
I think so. I think it's pretty much the same as the American version, but there's no TVs and parents and kids drink together.
That is a
I like
great,
it. She's learning
that's
fast.
A good synopsis.
You've been to Wetherspoons.
Yeah.
I mean, who amongst us hasn't?
Oh, I really do have a local. I can't even tell if this is funny or dark.
Let's find out. We'll find out together.
Okay. Right. When we moved, when me and my partner moved into our new flat, we wanted to just check out the local pubs. We couldn't go to the nearest one, because the nearest one had been shut down by the council after the police were called to it 27 times in 3 months.
You're painting a picture.
Sam, I've moved now. It will not be happening again.
I mean, you know, I'm not like, you know, I've got limited respect for the police, but I can see how that was an issue. The the sort of next one along we went into, thinking, oh, this might, you know, might be a cozy little local. And you know when you can tell outsiders aren't welcome and it's the same sort of 8 patrons,
yeah,
that frequent this pub every single night. And yeah, there's like a line between intimacy and going into someone's front room. Yeah. So we went up to the bar and we ordered something or other, and he said, oh, you're new around here? Yeah, we're new around here. It's rough, you know. Have you had your windows put through yet?
Not yet,
but thank you for inquiring.
Can't wait.
So we kind of just take our drink. We're still visibly being looked at by everyone else in the pub. Take our drinks, finish them reasonably quickly. Anyhow.
Sounds like they're visiting the pub again now.
Yeah. But bloody hell, that was a bit rough. We won't go there again. But about a week later, it was all barricaded up, and it turned out that landlords had been using it as a free meeting space for white nationalists.
Oh my god.
And because obviously that's, breweries don't like that, which is good. I approve. And they were trying to evict them, but they barricaded themselves in and put far-right flags all over the outside of it.
Imagine if you're in there at the time. just having you one drink.
What do you mean, imagine? She was chairing the meeting.
Yeah. Well, we thought we'd gone to a slightly ropey pub, but no, we'd gone to a den of Nazis. So.
Wow. Well, is that closed now?
Yeah, it's never been open since they got rid of them. There's a really nice one just a few 100 yards along, though. And that was a bit ropey, but it's perfectly pleasant.
Yeah. My local has a woman that sells DVDs out of a bag. That's my ropey local. That's exciting. Porn.
Who's buying DVDs?
I know. Now? Porn. Latest releases, or back before, you know, in the before times, and cigarettes. Duty-free cigarettes. She came up to me. I was like, I respect you as an entrepreneur, but none of this for me. Thank you.
No.
And when they have funerals and stuff in there, they hand the sandwiches and buffet round at the ends. They don't do food, but if you're in there, yeah.
They have funerals in the pub?
Roast potatoes on the bar on a Sunday afternoon. That's always a nice touch.
It's amazing. If you order a glass
of wine... Sorry, Molly, did you just ask if we have funerals at the pub?
Yeah.
Just as a general rule of thumb, if it can happen, it will happen in a pub over here.
So the actual ceremony is in a designated funeral place, but as with every British thing, afterwards there's drinks.
Win or lose, we're on the
Does the body come with?
No. But not to my knowledge.
Not unless they died in the pub, in which case they will sometimes just leave them there and bring the funeral to them. I once used to work behind the bar at a golf club, and there was these four sort of old dudes that were there every night. And one evening, as they're sort of serving, and they were sort of sat there drinking, and all of a sudden, one of them went grey, like the colour just drained from his face, and he just sort of like slumped down on the bar like that. So they called an ambulance, and an ambulance turned up. And they sort of put him in the back, and they said, oh, yeah, he's had a cardiac arrest. We're going to take him to the hospital. Literally 30 seconds later, one of the other blokes went, tight bastard, I'll do anything to get out of fire.
He died doing what he loved.
I feel like all the other regulars got to move one seat up on the bar stool.
Right, we've got time probably for like one very quick fire round, so... I'm going to stir the balls a bit quicker in honour of that situation. And it is your most competitive moment. Look at you all pretending you're not competitive. I love it.
Well, I'm a Capricorn, so I'm mostly competitive with myself. And it's torture. So over the summer of the pandemic, this past summer, I decided to go sober and vegan just because...
You hate yourself.
Right. Like, I don't know what I was thinking. It was crazy. And, you know, I lasted like 2.5 months. Wow. And then after the weather got a little colder, I was like, I just need like a steak pie and a Guinness. Mm. But I guess that also, yeah, I guess that was my most competitive moment of recent years.
That's helped, you know, that helped, I'm sure.
It's a pretty amazing achievement. I think
a lot of Guinnesses. A lot of Guinnesses are free range happy because you didn't drink them. It's fine.
Yes.
I think that's how it works. Is that right?
Definitely.
Guinness is vegan now, by the way. You can.
Oh, yeah. They used to have like fish bladders in it or something.
Yeah, they used to use isinglass and Guinness is now vegan. So
Grolsch is vegan. I remember that from... not that I was ever vegan.
I was going to say, was that an important USP for you, Paul?
We don't know. I might be vegan. I've been vegetarian for a long time, actually. Twice.
For how long?
Well, once probably from sort of, let me think about this, from 14 to 21. So what's that, 7 years? And then again, more recently, about 4 years.
Oh,
Were you that teenager? 14 to 21.
I don't even know what that means, but yeah, I was a big Smiths fan, so
it figures. You knew. You say I don't know what that means, and then you were like, you volunteered the Smiths. You knew exactly what it meant.
Yeah,
that's one of the couple of ways that can go.
As a sport fancier, Sam, I thought you'd have a competitive moment. This surprises me.
Oh gosh, I hadn't even thought about it in sporting terms. I've got loads of really bitter sporting moments. I mean, this happened on social media actually yesterday when I just realised that I'd always thought of Bristol Rovers as a bit Tory and I couldn't work out why. And
I know exactly what you mean.
But I've always just thought, Bristol Rovers, don't like them, bit Tory. And I really examined my attitude on that. And it turns out they beat my club, Everton, in a cup tie 21 years ago.
Oh, and you've not let it go.
Really not let it go.
I don't think Bristol's a particularly sort of Tory place, really.
No, it absolutely isn't. But I feel the same about the part of the... the part of Stoke with Port Vale in it, and again it's a cup tie.
It's just a cup got that kind of energy.
Really I think funny. The worst thing I can think to call someone is a Tory, so I find Bristol Rovers and Port Vale incredibly Tory for knocking us out in a penalty shootout and a replay. That really hurt.
Okay, I still haven't forgiven Bob the Builder for beating Westlife to number one for Christmas. 16 years ago,
you need to let that go.
No, I bought both like A side and B side. I bought two tapes of Westlife. I had two B sides of that. I did my bit. Where were the other Westlife fans? That's all I'm asking. Where were they? We had one job. Bob the Builder. Right. Anyway, that's
incidentally, Robson and Jerome kept Pulp's Common People off number one.
That's right. So much cooler.
No, I feel
all right. You're a cooler teenager. Sure. No, I'm still mad because honestly, Westlife What Makes a Man, still a banger. Anyway, let's go around and talk about where we can find everyone while I work out the scores. It won't take long. Sam, where can we find you for more of this absolute gold?
I'm at Sam White on Twitter, WHYTE. There should be a new podcast with my friend Kelly Wells out by the end of this month. We've got lots of editing to do, but there should be.
Exciting. Can you tell us the name, or is it not decided?
The name is a football reference that not everyone will get. It's not specifically a football podcast, but it's called Big Mick Energy.
Nice.
Big Mick Energy?
Yeah, there's a Mick football McCarthy. Manager called Mick McCarthy that we're both very enamoured of. So.
Oh, he's cool, man.
Yes, great calves.
That's not relative. Okay, Molly, what about you? What can we find you on?
So you guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Molly Molshine. A lot of people ask me in the UK for some reason if that's a fake name, but it's not. It's real, unfortunately. Molshine has one L. And please listen to my podcast, Diva Behavior. Vix was on it last week.
I was.
Talking about WAGs, the football WAGs of 2006 and beyond. And it was great. I mean, I think it really blew a lot of people's minds, mine included.
We treated it like a dissertation chat. It went real deep.
I always want my podcast to be funny and it becomes so serious. And like, but whatever. If you like really, really serious discussions of pop culture.
About Victoria Beckham. Yeah. Cheryl Cole.
Check out Diva Behavior.
That sounds amazing, not going to lie.
And Paul, what about you?
I'm on Instagram at Paul McCaffrey Comedian or Twitter at Paul McCaffrey's, because I think it's good to sort of have different things to confuse people.
Yeah, we love that.
Different handles. And I have a podcast that I do with Sean Wolves called What's Upset You Now, and that's out weekly, 15-minute episodes. And I'm also do a podcast with Radio X called The Brit Podcast, which I do with George Lewis, all about Brit pop. Different musical guest on every week. We've had like Peter Hook, Groetta, Clint Boone from the In Spiral Carpets. We just interviewed Nigel Clark from Dodgy this morning. So
Just remembered that Groetta was on The X Factor, like, she wasn't like a Britpop icon.
She's amazing.
And then was treated like the Tesco Mary. Not acceptable. Wasn't enough respect.
Great.
Anyway,
what's about Clint Boone? And he was lovely. So I will definitely what a listen sweetheart. To that.
It's really good. And he at the end of it, he did he did This Is How It Feels for Us.
Oh, God bless amazing. That.
Yeah, yeah. So cool.
Yeah, don't listen to my podcast, listen to that.
When you finish listening to me.
This has been an absolute joy. Paul, you are the winner.
My word. I designated... I've never won anything in my life.
Oh, well, you've won Comedy Arcade. There's no prize. It's just glory. Ah. But it was a really close run race, actually, because I really enjoyed everybody's anecdotes. So,
wow. I got my vagina sealed shut for nothing.
Oh, no.
I don't think this was why you got your vagina sealed shut. That wasn't what you were thinking when you went to that backstreet gynecologist. Don't try and blame us. Anyway, you are all free to go. Thank you for playing the Comedy Arcade. And thank you to the listeners for listening. You can catch us again next week. Thanks for listening to the Comedy Arcade. There'll be a new episode next Thursday with new balls and new guests. If you liked it, like us any way you can and subscribe and tell all your friends. Also, tell us. We're in all the usual places on all the social media. And if you didn't like it, I've been Alison Spittle. This is Wheel of Misfortune. It's similar, but it's not the same.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.